For the greater sage grouse, it's time to hunker down. This iconic North American bird is perhaps best known for its elaborate mating display. Males inflate their chests, fan out their tail feathers, and vie for females' attention with a spectacular dance. But winter is a quieter show. During winter, the sage grouse is wholly reliant on its namesake species, sagebrush, both for shelter and for food. You see, most grouse species eat small rocks and stones and store them in a muscular part of their stomach known as the gizzard. When the gizzard contracts, the roughage helps the grouse grind up its food. But sage grouse don't have a muscular gizzard, and they don't pick up stones. So without the ability to grind up nutritious hard things, like seeds, sage grouse depend on the soft, delicate leaves of sagebrush plants as the key food source to survive the long, cold winter. That makes these birds something scientists call sagebrush obligate. They need this plant to survive. When the veil of winter finally lifts, sagebrush will no longer be the only thing on the menu for the greater sage grouse. In the spring, its diet shifts to insects and plants as it gets ready for the most fantastic mating show in the West, the lekking season. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University on Burnaby Mountain.
Peter Jones, and you are indeed listening to Tell Us a Tale, where Jen Hoffman and I are going to tell you one of Jen's favorite Native American tales called Zingabis. an Ojibwa legend from the area now known as Wisconsin. It's adapted by Nancy Van Laan and published by Houghton Mifflin.
During the moon of the freezing over of the earth, when Wintermaker blows his icy breath across the land, all but the bravest birds fly south. Animals, both large and small, seek warmth wherever they can and often go hungry. For snow-covered ground and frozen waters make it hard to find enough to eat. But there is one small being who faces the wind of the great Winter Maker, one who knows how to pluck fish out of frigid waters. It is Zingibis, the diver, who once challenged Kabibonakan Winter Maker in the way back time. It was in Chemehuea, the way back time, that Zingibis lived in a wigwam made of bark, tucked between tall pines. His wigwam, small but cozy, rested near the waters of Great Lake Superior, which was full of fish for Zingibis to eat. During the warm months of spring and summer, Zingibis glided across the deep blue waters, dipping here and there, catching minnows as they skimmered near the surface. When autumn chilled the air, Zingibis could dive below, swimming like a brook trout beneath the waters. He could always find plenty to eat. Even in winter, Zingibis could fish, for Lake Superior is much too large to freeze over, as most lakes do. But once, during the Spirit Moon, the first moon of winter and of deep snow, the chilling breath of Kabibonakan froze the waters of Great Lake Superior. Even a moose could now cross the vast lake without breaking the ice. It was as solid as stone. In his lodge, Zingibis had but 4 logs to keep him warm. 4 logs, one for each cold winter month. He did not want to starve during this harsh season, as so many others might. What he needed was a way to fish through the thick ice. So, fearlessly, Zingibis ventured outdoors to face the great wind of Winter Maker. Kabibonakan roared a warning.
Go back inside, little duck. There is no food for you out here.
But Zingibis was not afraid. Hardy and free, he set forth. Down to the edge of the frozen lake. Slowly, he made his way across the ice toward a patch of frozen rushes. He tugged on the tall stalks and yanked them up, making a hole in the ice just big enough for his small body. Quickly, he dove through the opening and got fish for his supper. Then away to his lodge he went, dragging his fish behind him. Inside his wigwam, with his first log burning brightly, Zingibis ate his dinner. Outside, Winter Maker roared and screamed beneath the first moon of winter. He did not like so small a being showing no fear. So his great wind blew and blew for many days, until deep Drifts of snow covered the tiny wigwam. Zingibis, hearing the great wind outside, moved closer to his fire for warmth. After many days, the storm ended. Clever Zingibis used his webbed feet to dig a tunnel through the heavy drifts. After much work, he crawled up and out into the bright December morning. Happily, he ruffled his feathers to shake off the snow, then set forth down to the edge of the frozen lake. Just as before, he pulled up reeds, then dove into the hole to fish. And once again, he returned home with his fish trailing behind him. However, all during the second moon of winter, the great spirit moon, Zingibis had no fish to eat. This time, when Winter Maker howled and roared, he coated the deep snow with ice thicker than the trunk of an old cedar. Ice so thick that Zingibis was unable to break through it. All the while, Zingibis grew hungrier and hungrier, with only the warmth of his second log to comfort him. But finally, one quiet morning, the ice storm left, and Zingibis discovered that he could use his strong beak to peck through the ice. He hopped out of his wigwam, then hurried down to the frozen lake. Again he pulled up rushes, made a hole in the ice, dove in, and at last brought fish home for his supper. In his wigwam he ate hungrily. Then he carefully placed his third log on the glowing coals. It was now the third moon of winter, the stingy moon, the tough month when all the animals hole up. No creature dared to venture outdoors during this time, not bear or skunk or beaver. No creature except Zingibis. He still caught his fish every day, cooked his supper every night, and warmed himself by the fire of his third log. Seeing Zingibis so brave and content made Winter Maker angrier than ever. So this time, instead of deep snow or thick ice, Winter Maker sent a chilling wind that raged for many days without stopping. The breath of this wind was so cold that it cracked the rocks and broke the trees. Even the animals who were safely holed up were shivering as they slumbered. Capibonacan roared to Zingibis.
What kind of being are you? I will find a way to defeat you.
But as soon as Zingibis heard the winds die down, he walked down to the frozen lake. As usual, he pulled up some reeds and prepared to dive through the opening in the ice. He did this not knowing that Winter Maker was right behind him. Kabibonakan blew his icy breath over the hole. Instantly, it closed up. Pretending that nothing had happened, Zingibis quickly pulled up some other reeds, then dove through that hole.
Now I've got you, little dog.
And with another mighty huff of frigid air, he closed up the hole.
Stay down below, little duck. Stay down below the frozen waters forever.
But a few moments later, near the shore where a river current thins the ice, Winter Maker heard. Then, several rushes disappeared under the ice. Up bobbed Zingabis with a mouthful of fish.
Oh, no, hey.
Kabibonakan was so surprised that he only watched as the little duck returned to his home with a string of fish trailing behind him. It was then that Kabibonakan came up with a new plan. Now he would show the little duck just how powerful he could be. Slowly, quietly, Wintermaker crept up to the entrance of the wigwam. Zingabis was just throwing on his last log, and this log had to burn all during the maple sugar moon until beautiful Zijuan would arrive to warm the earth. It was Wintermaker's plan to cool the lodge so much that the fourth log would not last until spring. Then Zingabis would freeze. But Zingabis, feeling Wintermaker's chilly breath coming through the cracks of the flap, knew who was there. So he sang,
"Cottage, cottage, bayon, bayon, bonnet, bonnet, aki, aki, kaweya, kaweya."
"Friend, friend, come in, come in. Sit with me or leave me alone. You are but my fellow man. Not hardly can you do me in." This only enraged Kabibonakan all the more, for he knew that the little duck was still not afraid of him. So Wintermaker slipped silently under the door, rustled right behind little Zingabis, and sat like an icicle, pale and cold, next to the fire. Again Zingabis sang,
"Cottage, cottage, bayon, bayon, bonnet, bonnet, aki, aki, kaweya, kaweya."
Now the little lodge was growing very warm, and as sparks from the last log shot up, Wintermaker's great body began to melt.
"Little duck, what kind of being are you? I have tried to freeze you. I have tried to starve you. But there you sit, hardy and as free as though nothing could do you any harm."
As the last log glowed a deep red, tiny drops of water appeared on Kabibonakan's face and filled his eyes of snow. His towering shape began to sag. And finally he said softly,
"Zingabis, you must be aided by some Manitou, some great spirit. I cannot stand this. I must go out."
Little Zingabis stood in the doorway and watched as Kabibonakan flung himself into a bank of deep snow. Slowly, ever so slowly, Wintermaker grew colder and colder until at last, when the maple sugar moon was bright and full, he was as great and powerful as before. In a blinding whirlwind of sleet and ice, Kabibonakan rose up, eager to return to his home in the far north. It was almost the end of winter, and Zijuan, spring, would soon be claiming the land. As he blew across the starlit sky, the thin night air echoed his words.
Kawasa nangwana ningdagawa dimasi. I can neither free Shingabus nor starve him. He is a very singular being. I will let him alone.
Kabibo Nakan kept his promise year after year, even in the coldest of months. Zingabis continues to live out the winter by breaking through the ice and diving for fish. Just as this story, this sacred Adizukan teaches, those who follow the ways of Zingabis will always have plenty of fish to eat, no matter how hard the great wind of Wintermaker blows.
Paxton's album Going to the Zoo, that was Let the Wild Wind Blow. And in the background of Zingabis was music off R. Carlos Nakai's album Desert Dance. Well, in honor of that little duck, we're going to close out this edition of Tell Us a Tale with a traditional tune off Trout Fishing in America's album Mine called Five Little Ducks. So we'll see you again soon, right here on Tell Us a Tale.
Thank you.
This next song is a very, very old song. In fact, it is so old that nobody knows exactly who wrote this song.
Or why they would write a song like this.
But when it was first written, it was called 100 Little Ducks. There are obviously a few, but a very few traditional music fans in the audience this evening. My partner on my right, your left, Keith Grimwood, is not much on traditional music. And so instead of doing the traditional 100 Little Ducks, we're only going to do 5 Little Ducks this afternoon.
You'll thank me for this. Ezra, I don't think they know this song very well. Perhaps you could explain the rules.
After I sing, Mother Duck says, everybody is always supposed to sing in their loudest, most obnoxious voices. Quack, 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 quack. 4 simple words. Let's try that. Mother Duck said, quack, 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 quack. Ugh. Everybody go, uh. With feeling.
With more feeling.
But only 4 little ducks came back.
Now, I have to warn you that we're in big trouble here, because if you don't quack a lot louder than that and go, with a lot more feeling than that, Ezra will sing 100 ducks, and this will be a very long song.
The 4 little ducks went out one day over the hills and far away. Mother duck said, quack! But only 98 little ducks came back.
He's a tough man to please. Help!
98 little ducks went out one day over the hills and far away. Mother duck said, quack, 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 quack. Quack, 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 quack.
Yes!
But only 64 little ducks came back.
There's still a lot of ducks.
It's pretty good. 64 little ducks went out one day over the hills and far away. Mother duck said, quack, 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 quack. But only 63 little ducks came back.
My fault, my fault. We gotta watch him very closely and quit going, when he does, okay? He's very tricky.
63 little ducks went out one day over the hills and far away. Mother duck said, quack, 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 quack. But only 2 little ducks came back. Keith.
What?
Why are these people clapping?
I think they realize the song is almost over. Well, they probably know that it's time for the competitive quacking portion of our show. First of all, I would like all the kids to be very, very quiet, because it's time for the adults only quack. Kids, what I want you to do is I want you to turn and look and listen to the mature quacking voice of your parents and the other adults around you who are responsible for your welfare and safety.
Ducks went out one day over the hills and far away. Mother duck said, quack, 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 quack.
Very mature, I can tell.
But only 1 little duck came back.
But not very loud. Kids only this time. Show them how to do it.
1 little duck went out one day over the hills and far away. Mother duck said, but none of the cute baby ducks came back. So sad mother duck went out one day over the hills and far away. Mother duck said, quack. That was pathetic. How do you expect the 5 baby ducks to find their way home if that's as loud as you can quack? Mother duck said, quack, 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 quack. And most of the cute baby ducks came back.